sir.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we come humbly before you in your presence, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for this day that you've made, Lord, that it's, like it's been said, it's another day that we've never seen before and we'll never see again. You've been good to us, Father, to see us this far, Lord. So many, the Heavenly Father, have not been able to see this day, Lord. You've called them home for whatever reason, but we realize that you're still in control. You left us here with purpose in mind. We realize that your will is that no man perish, but all come to repentance. Now, Father, we ask that you speak to us this morning, Lord, like only you can. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. To my pastor, Pastor Minor. God bless you. My brother's on the roster. I'm there with Reverend Bell, Reverend Bannister, Reverend Davis, and those in the absence right now, to our deacons, trustees, our mother's board. God bless you. And most of all, to God our Father. To him be glory, power, dominion forever and ever. And it's because of him that we live, we move, and we have our being. And it's in him. I'm trying to hold my hope here. I was in Sunday school this morning, and Reverend Bannister was teaching class, and I had shared with Reverend Davis the other day too that I try not to say too much. Because those that don't know me, I may not talk a whole lot, but when we start talking about Jesus,
it's all right. That's a good conversation.
My pastor down in Arkansas, let me just tell you this. We're going to 1 Chronicles 28. Let me just get that out there. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10 is what we're going to read. But while you're searching for that, my pastor in Arkansas, the one that had licensed me, he knew I was kind of long-winded. And he said, son, after 5 minutes, they ain't listening to you. He's been pastoring for over some 50-some years. He's passed away now. But he was my grandmother's pastor. For those that know my grandmother, Rosie Hoskins, which was a member here at Macedonia, we come up from Arkansas probably the late 50s, early 60s, 60s, somewhere around there. But anyway, my dad had three kids, and he was working at a chicken hatchery. He said, I can't raise no kids working at no chicken hatchery. So he went into the military, and I don't know if it was my grandmother, my mom, one of my brothers, and my sister, and I think my mom's baby brother. We all come up from Arkansas, and we moved to Hamtramck. That's where we united with Macedonia. And all four of us slept in the bed in the basement of my grandparents' apartment there on Kniff in Buffalo. I said that to say that God got a way of moving us around and doing some things in our lives that we don't know nothing about, but he knows us and he knows what we need. They united with Macedonia, and yesterday when I heard Pastor Twyman with Mother Drake's, I believe that's Mother Drake's sister that's up there is visiting, but anyway, he was saying some things that remind me of old Reverend Twyman. For those that was not here yesterday, I'm just going to say that he began to quote, I believe it was Psalms, was it 34? Yes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And he said that because he's gotten older now, and he says sometimes some words want to slip out that he didn't used to say or he haven't said in a long time. So he had to continually quote those verses and scriptures and everything. And this is going along with what we're going to talk about shortly. But not only did my pastor down south tell me they ain't paying no attention to you after 5 minutes, Reverend Davis shared something, and I hope it's okay to share this. Reverend Davis said something to me yesterday. He said his old pastor used to tell them, he used to blow kisses to them, you know, when they was preaching, the associate minister. And he was wondering, what was that all about, you know? He asked the pastor, why was he doing that? Pastor told him, you know that old saying, keep it simple, stupid? So don't nobody start blowing kisses or tell me 5 minutes. I'm going to do my best to say what I have to say and move on out the way. But it was one thing I wanted to mention to those that was part of Old Macedonia. I just found out yesterday that Reverend Kelly Halliburton passed away. And I'm telling you, when I heard the news, that my spirit just dropped real fast, because he was a good brother. He was like Reverend Davis to Pastor Minor here. Reverend Halliburton was Reverend Twyman's. He used to use him in teaching a lot. And, you know, we just come up under his teaching and Pastor Twyman, and for me to hear that, but I had to compose myself and realize that's what his life was all about. Seeing the Lord one day, you know, that's something that we're not going to get out of. We're going to leave here. And you know, just being in the presence of other believers, I thank God for you all being here. Because there's so many folks that are not under God's word or hearing God's word, but you all are here. God bless you. You've been getting the word, and those that come out to Bible class and Sunday school, prayer meeting, because that's the way we were brought up. To be up under God's word and using his word to help us to live this life. Help me, Lord. First Chronicles 28:9-10. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. We want to talk about, look at God. Look at God. But there's a subtopic to this, and is a king's heart. A king's heart. Before we address that, Pastor Minor has been preaching on a lot of things pertaining to what we are going to look at this morning. During watch night service, he talked about submit to the power and work of the Holy Spirit, which Reverend Davis is teaching in a Bible class about the Holy Spirit and his power. Commit to the work of God. Commit to sharing the gospel. He has challenged the church to share the gospel once a week with somebody. His sermons about elevating to elevate our actions and conducts, and to honor God in all that we do, to know God intimately, sacrifice and service, is to be equated with others. You know, this sacrifice and service is something that we should do and share with others. We ought to be anchored in our relationships. We ought to listen to God's voice and not our own. Our soul is what blesses God. You know, I want to say something about what the pastor was saying about our tithes and our offering and giving. And that was one thing that Reverend Twyman, I tell you, me coming out of the streets or out of the world at that time when I joined Macedonia, and they got to talking about money and everything, and I said, oh, Lord. But one thing Pastor Twyman said, no chickens will have to die, and no fish is going to have to fry. We're going to pay our tithes and give our offerings. And I'm telling you, it's been a blessing. Ever since then, it's been a blessing. We've had fish fries, or the men would get together and we was frying fish and barbecuing and giving it away. We would be out there on the lot in Hamtramck and we would just give, and people would ride by and wonder, how much is it? It was free because Jesus paid it all. I'm trying to stay focused here. I was also told, you can't tell it all. I want to tell it all, but I can't tell it all. Pastor has told us, don't be afraid to ask the Lord, what is your will for me? What is your will for me? God wants us to look like Jesus and be the church and not just come to church. We have the power as the first church, but the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, but we don't look like the first church. These are some of the things he's been teaching and preaching about. And one of the things, too, is surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. This last part here, Reverend Davis had preached about, God uses trouble to speak to us that we need him. When trouble comes into our lives, it's really to draw us closer to the Lord. We need him. Matter of fact, I've been worried about, I'm not going to say worried about stepping up here and saying something for the Lord. But all I can do is think about, Lord, you got this. I don't, Lord. I don't know what to say to your people, Lord. You put some things on my heart and my mind, and I'm telling you, this morning in Bible class, and even before I even got here this morning, listening to some songs and trying to get dressed, and I tell you, it was just overwhelming. Just how real God is. Yes. Look at God. David was at the end of his life, basically, in our text. And he had something on his heart that he wanted to do, and that was to build a temple for the Lord. Yes, sir. Basically, to honor his name. But we look at the heart of a king. David was a young man when he was anointed by Samuel. He was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king. God chose Saul. There's a passage in the New Testament that says, many are called, but few are chosen. God has called and is still calling today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. guess this is a time where I try to crack a little joke or something, just to get my mind off of what's on my heart. Deacon Dave Thomas, the chicken was excellent yesterday. It was excellent. Yes, Saul was chosen by God, but Saul disobeyed the Lord.
Yeah.
And God rejected him.
Yeah.
And remove the spirit off of him.
Yeah.
And his men began to tell Saul about a young man who was a gifted musician. And his name was David.
Yeah.
And Saul sent for David. And David began to play for Saul when he got disturbed or agitated, and when that evil spirit came upon him, David played his instrument, and that anger or whatever it was subsided in Saul.
Yes.
But by that time, God had let Saul know that I rejected you, and I have someone else that's going to replace you, which was David. The Lord told Samuel to go and anoint David, or go find David. And he told him to go to the house of Jesse. He had about 8 sons. And Jesse brought all his sons before Samuel. And he began to look upon them and say, yeah, this got to be him. You know, but the Lord basically let him know, those 7 boys, those are not the one I want. And he asked him, did you have another son? He said, yeah, I got a boy. He's out there tending my sheep.
Yeah.
And he told him to call him in, because I won't sit down. I won't leave until I see him. The Lord called, Jesse called his son David in. He was, they say he was good to look at. He was a little ruddy, a little rough around the edges or whatever. But that was the one that Samuel anointed to be the king of Israel.
Yes.
To kind of sum this up here is that David was the one that God had chosen to be the next king. But the point is that David had that spirit upon him, and he began to show the strength that God had given him, but he also developed a relationship with God.
Yes.
And that's really the point that I want to make here with David. David had, he had a relationship with the Lord. And what we're reading is about some biblical principles, what the pastor's been teaching, what we're reading in here, that we need in order to make it through this life. One of the things that we have to have, or the main thing, is a relationship with God. We have to be committed to the Lord. We have to surrender ourselves to the Lord. We have to devote ourselves, and really we have to find out, Lord, what is it that you want me to do?
Yes.
This life is not our own.
Yes.
For those of us that realize that we're getting older every day.
Yes.
That I heard, like Pastor said yesterday, that, you know, really most of our lives are behind us.
Yes.
So those of us that are in, I'm going to say my age group or close to it or whatever, we need to be thinking about, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with the time that you've given me right now?
Yes.
Yesterday is gone, so we can just make up our minds right now.
Yes.
And when we look at David, David was a young man.
Yes.
He developed a relationship with God. And I think about the young people that are in our church right now.
Yes.
God has a purpose for them.
Yes.
And if we would just continue to do what we do for them, we never know who God will use to be that next David.
Yes.
To be leaders.
Yes.
And not just follow after the world, but yes, let the world know this is the way you're supposed to live.
Yes.
To be that example.
Yes.
I was thinking about Deacon Allen over here. His 3 things that I'll never forget is to witness, evangelize, and discipleship.
Yes.
This is what we ought to be doing. And you know, so we can't wait on nobody else to do it for us. We have to develop that relationship with the Lord, yes, our own selves. Like Reverend David said, when trouble comes, because it is coming. If you're not in it right now, it's on its way, or it may have taken a break, but it's coming back. But it's not that it won't come, but when it comes, what do you do? Where do you run to? Who do you run to? You know, this is what defines us. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said something about all men can stand a little adversity, but to test a man's character, give him power. You put somebody in leadership, you find out what they made of. You know, so we have to realize that some things, God just, he just allows some things to come into our lives just to help us, to grow us, and to develop that relationship with him. Realize how much we need him. We need the Lord so much, but in all of that, people ought to see God in our lives. We just don't act like we used to. Reverend Bannister, I appreciate that brother so much this morning. I'm telling you, he shared his testimony with us. And, you know, to hear that, he said he didn't grow up going to church. He said he was almost 40 years old before he met the Lord. You don't hear that every day. A lot of us that grew up in church, now I grew up in church, but I wasn't committed till I was in my early 20s. You know, but to hear that, but you know what the difference made? His life changed. He began to see God differently. I watched President Carter's funeral the other day. This man was well loved and respected. He had a changed life. He didn't just talk about his belief in God. He lived it. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, God still is calling us. Some of us, he chooses to do certain things. And all we have to do is just commit to him. Surrender to him. I made up my mind, and the pastor, some of his sermons have been really convicting me ever since my dad passed, and you know, I had a little free time on my hand from caregiving, and I kind of got a little comfortable. I wasn't going to do too much, but I'm going to take me a nap around 2 o'clock and do what I can do, and you know, but when it come time to nap, I'm going to try to get a little nap in. But my family members, they've been telling me for years, boy, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. And dear, I know I forgot to honor you too. Don't. Okay. All right. Lord Jesus. Peanut butter and jelly tonight. That's all right. But I realized that the Lord gonna use all of us. But especially those of us that surrender to him and decide, Lord, this is yours. In this passage here, in the 20th verse, it goes along too that says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. My question was when I was reading this, Lord, why? You know, we know and we realize and we've read too that there's nothing on this earth that can contain the Lord. But David had a desire to honor God. Throughout his life, his ups and his downs, he was just like us. You know, but God chose him to be king. David had some faults, he had some failures. But David wanted to honor this God that he knew, that he served. But if you look at that in verses 9 and 10, David was basically, this is what was important to him. He had all his life, or while he was king, he was preparing to build this temple, and he was even told that he could do it by the prophet, but the Lord told him, no, you're not going to do this because you got too much blood on your hands, but your son Solomon is going to do this. We look at God and see that God is sovereign. He don't do things like we think he ought to do things. You know, he said that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways. The Lord David was not the heir to Saul's throne. He was not supposed to be the next king. Solomon was not supposed to be the next king. He was not the oldest son. David had many sons, but God chose both of them out of that line of succession. God can do whatever he wants to do, but he also gives us choices too. He won't force us against our will, but he'll sometimes make us willing. He allowed things to come into our lives and help us to make up our mind. Whom you gonna serve? What are you gonna do with it? We have to think about these things. David had a desire to just to please God, to honor him. And here he is at the end of his life telling his son, this is what's important. Verse 9, my son, know the God of thy father. Get to know him intimately. Have a personal relationship with him. Don't have nothing surface about it. I want you to go deeper into your relationship with him, because I found out that he's real. He's made a way out of no way for me. This is David talking to his son. And serve him with a perfect heart. And we know that the heart is the seat of the soul. That it is what it's the essence of us. It is, you know, I saw another little quote there, and it talked about the tree being the character of a man, but his shadow is the integrity of it.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's somewhere around there. See, we can fool people, but we can't fool God.
That's right.
And see, and we can talk about how much we love God until trouble comes. You know, we can put on, you know, something nice and all this. I was getting ready to say, this my wife here, you know. But I like Carhartts and some blue jeans and some Brogans, you know. But I want the life to speak for me. When it's all said and done, I want my wife, my children, my siblings to know that he loved the Lord. And this ain't just here in church here, but it's when I get out of here. Because that's when life really it starts. See, we come here to energize, to recharge, to find out, Lord, what, you know, to be encouraged, Lord. But when we leave out of here, this is where our service starts. I never thought I'd be back in my same community that I grew up in, living next door to where I grew up. Right back there on 7 Mile. But evidently, the Lord got us there for a reason. And like it's been said, we're going to bloom where we planted. I'm going to wrap this up because I'm reminded of another king that was dedicated to his father. He was determined to please his father. I think that it was when he was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem for the last time, and his disciples told him, don't you know they want to kill you? He said, but I got to go back to Jerusalem. I got to go back there. And the reason why he wanted to go back was because of us. He knew that a price had to be paid for our souls. And if he had not gone back there, we would be lost and still yet in our sin. But because he went back and he suffered, bled, and died for us. Because he loved us so much. He set the example of what commitment really is. If we say we love him, let's live like it. If we say we love him, let's turn it over to him and allow him to work in us. We never know what God can do in and through us if we just be completely committed to him. Lord Jesus, he did go to that cross on Calvary. He suffered on our behalf. He bled and he died. They buried him in that tomb, but after 3 days, he said he got up. The word tells us he got up with all power in his hand. But one day he's coming back. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing them one day.
Yes, sir.
But are you? Let's live like we believe that he lives. God bless you all.
The door to church is open. Is there one here today who does not know the Lord as the pardon for your sin? This is your opportunity to come and to give your life to him. He'll make your life brand new. Let's church say amen. He'll make your life brand new. Is there another? All you have to do is surrender your life to the Lord. He'll make the difference in your life if you will just give in, give up, and let God have his way with your life. He's able to do much more than we can imagine or even think if you'll just put your trust in his hand. Is there one? Is there another? Why don't you come? Just surrender your life to the Lord. All of us who are part of this ministry today are here because we once evaluated ourselves. We looked at our lives and we knew that we needed the Lord. Is there another? Is there another one? Why don't you come? Is there another? Why don't you come? God bless you.
Good afternoon, Macedonia, to Pastor Minor and the entire church family. We have coming today Ashley Campbell, and she's coming as a candidate for baptism.
Hey, Ashley, how you doing? Stand up. How are you today? You doing good? Okay. Well, listen here. We're glad you came today. Amen? All right. You say amen? All right. Listen, we're going to have you have some... Dr. Bear, I'm going to have you ask you to get with Ashley, all right? And she'll have some discussions with you. Are you afraid to get baptized?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to make sure we take care of that as well. All right, God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Dr. Bear. Okay, come on.
Let's church say amen. At this time, we're going to ask that you would prepare your hearts and your minds to be a blessing to our preacher for this evening, Reverend Hoskins. We're going to take up a love offering for him. And so we're going to ask that you would stand now. Everyone would stand and prepare to come around as directed by the ushers. But we want to be a blessing to him. Pastor Reverend Hoskins has poured into us what the Lord has given him, and we want to bless him as a result of that. So reach deep into your pocket. Let us honor this preacher. Please stand. Everyone stand. Everyone stand and be prepared to come around and share your gifts with this preacher.
Father, we'd like to thank you for always doing great things for us. Thank you for the message that was brought to us today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for this offering that was taken up. Let it be used to further your kingdom, Heavenly Father. Let it bless the hearts of everyone that gave. In your darling Son, Jesus' name, let every heart say amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you all. Motor City Soul Food gonna thank you too. God bless you all.
Bless you.
Amen. We all can stand and we getting ready to get on out of here. But I appreciate this opportunity. I don't take it for granted. Yeah, if you all want prayer, you can come on up. Reverend Bannister had mentioned about his wife. She's home right now, but he's just requesting prayer for her. And we want to continue to lift them up, her up in prayer, and those on our sick and shut-in list. And there's a lot of unspoken requests. God knows all about him. But he told us to cast all our cares upon him because he cared for us. And men should always pray and not faint. So we're going to look to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, it's in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we come humbly before your throne of grace, Lord. We realize it is a time of need, Lord, and we praying for those in California and the fires, those first responders, Lord, that you would bless them, those that are supporting them and feeding them and housing them, and those that are homeless right now, Father, many that never experienced nothing like that, Lord. But you told us in your word that there will be days like this, and they're going to be even worse. But we realize that you're still God. You told us that if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us, Lord. The troubles that we may face in this life. But you told us also, Lord, that our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that you have prepared for us. And Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you with our whole hearts, Lord. Lord, we're going to depend on you even more so this year, Lord, than we did last year. We pray for these, Lord, that have come forward. Lord, that you know what's on their heart, Lord. We pray that you meet them at their point of need, Lord. that you would just confirm some things in their hearts and their minds, touch their bodies, Lord, their families, Lord, their situations that they may be facing right now. Lord, you know, we pray for Sister Bannister in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bless her, Father, and her family, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Sister Halliburton. Have mercy upon her, Lord. Lord, they've been a blessing to this congregation here, Lord, and in times past, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done and continue to do. Lord, and I want to lift up our pastor, Lord. I heard it said earlier today, we realize that you're real, and we also realize that Satan is real too, Lord. And all the good that we do, he don't like that. Father, you've given our pastor a vision for this church here. And we're praying, Father, that we get behind him, that we pray for him on a regular basis, that we stand with him, Father, and help him along this journey. Bless his wife and his family, Lord. We pray for the church family as a whole, Lord, that you would just have your way in their lives, Lord, in our lives. Use us for your glory. And this is our prayer, Lord, that your will be done most of all. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Now may the grace of God and the love of Jesus and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may it now rest, rule, and abide with us in us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.